Freedom. Yeah, somebody's doing the Chase Visa commercial. Freedom, that Freedom commercial. Freedom. What do you think of freedom if you hear the word freedom? America, you think of? What else? What do you think of? 4th of July. What else? Jesus. Free parking. Is that what you said? Oh, Braveheart. Braveheart. They said free parking. I was going to say. sometimes free parking is freedom. Yay! So you know, we hear that term, we throw it around. We like to believe in our existence here, especially in the United States, that we consider ourselves free people. Without getting into that part of it, I can tell you that we're not as free as we were maybe 20, 30, 50 years ago, but we still can say that we have, for the most part, freedom. We have things in our system of government that are there to protect our freedoms. But how free are we? How free are we? You know, when we think about the external things that we talk about as freedom, we say, well, we're not under a totalitarian government, and I have freedom to, you know, make choices in my life, and a freedom to, you know, vote, you know, in elections, and a freedom to do this, that, and the other thing. And all those things may be true, but they're external. There's some that call that external freedoms. You know, you're free from the external constraints that maybe others have on themselves, and you have maybe more liberty or freedom to do certain things in your life and conduct your life a certain way. And that's the external freedoms that we do say we enjoy. And guess what? That's a good thing. There's many people that do not have those external freedoms. There's many people that are under oppressions of different types. But if you have the freedom, the external freedom, that's a good thing, and thank God for it, work to keep it. But that's not the freedom that Jesus promised us. That's not the freedom he promised us at all. You know, he said in Luke chapter 4, one of the cool things Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, when he was preaching in Nazareth, and he went back to his hometown, and he went, and they got him with a scroll, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty." Say liberty. It's another word for what? Freedom. "To proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set again at liberty," or freedom, "all who are oppressed." Those who are oppressed. He came to set the captive free. He came to set the oppressed free. He came to give us true freedom. And another time, another occasion, speaking to the religious people in Judah or in Israel, in Jerusalem, he said in John chapter 8, he said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free," say it with me, "you shall be free indeed." So he wasn't promising necessarily political or economic freedom. He wasn't. In fact, some of the most harshly oppressed people in history, even to this day, have had complete freedom in Jesus Christ, though they had outwardly oppression, bondage, maybe even slavery, but yet they had freedom in Christ. So Jesus promises us a freedom. And he promises us that he gives us this freedom, and that freedom is in him, because if the Son makes you free, if the Son sets you free, if the Son is the one who gives you that freedom, which is him, then you are completely free. But the freedom that Jesus talks about, while it's not just or only external freedom, it's internal freedom, is not a freedom that you might think that you can do or should be able to do whatever you want. Jesus' freedom actually is freeing us to do what we should do. There's a difference between doing everything we want, which when we do those things actually lead to more bondage, as opposed to being made free to do the things that we ought to do, that God directs us to do, which gives us, in turn, freedom. He was giving us freedom or liberty to walk in a relationship with God and to be the kind of people that he always intended us to be. And this freedom that Jesus wants for us is a freedom that we have lost and has been denied from us, not because of something external, but something internal, and that's called sin. Sin that we commit. Sin that nobody forced us to commit. You cannot blame your sinful heart or the sins that you have committed on anybody else, on your environment, or any other factor. It's us who have done it. And that sin is the one that denied us the freedom that Jesus wants to give us. It's plain as simple as that. We think, in our way of thinking, that our ability to sin or to do what we want, which, you know, when we just go the way of man, you know, to do what we want, is going to lead us to be more free. But it actually, as I said earlier, is bondage. Sin is always bondage and then brings death. Jesus shocked the religious people in his day when he said that phrase about who the Son says is free indeed. Because he actually said to them, prior to saying that, he said to them, he says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking to the religious people. He says, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Jesus said that. He doesn't lie. When we sin, we become a slave to sin. The Bible goes on to say that the sin that does bind us, that sin that does ensnare us, that same sin brings the wages of death, ultimately. So how do we find freedom from this penalty of sin? How do we find freedom to be able to do the things that God calls us to do, and the ability to find ourselves to become the person that God always intended for us to be? Well, the first thing that you and I and all of us need to do is to recognize something, that in and unto ourselves, we can never be free. We can't. The freest person on this earth, whoever that might be, the person that has the highest level of freedom in their life, is still in bondage, is still not free. So the first thing you have to recognize is that we are powerless to make ourselves free the way God wants us to be free. We're powerless. We can't do it. But at the same time, he would never say that if the Son makes you free indeed, unless there was freedom that we could have. And the way to get that is we need to do something, and it's to recognize not only that we cannot be free because of our sinful nature and our sin, but that Jesus Christ and him alone can give us that freedom. And he tells us that we have to recognize that and recognize our sinful nature, and that we're powerless to change that nature, and submit to him and to his way alone, and to recognize that he himself made a way for our freedom when he became sin upon the cross and died to pay the penalty for that sin, and subsequently that all who trust and believe in him, turning from their sin, receiving by faith his forgiveness, will be forgiven but set free. And that's why the Son can set you free. And when he sets you free, you are free indeed. That's true freedom. The first step is to come to that recognition that you need a Savior, that you cannot free yourself, and that you need to accept his freedom by accepting by faith what he did on the cross. Now, when you come to Christ, when you are born again, as we will call it, as Jesus said, you must be born again, is when you come to Christ and you are saved from your sin, all of a sudden now, he comes into your life, and you are, whether you feel like it or not internally immediately, or whether your external situation changes immediately, and by the way, it probably won't immediately, eventually it more than likely will, but maybe not immediately. But you might at that moment of receiving Christ and being born again not necessarily feel free, but you are. You're completely free. Again, I'll repeat myself. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And all of a sudden, now if you begin to walk closely with this one who sets you free, with this Jesus, all of a sudden you're going to see that things in your life that bound you up are going to begin to fall away. Guiltiness, self-destructive habits, you know, erroneous way of thinking about things. We'll all be starting to be replaced by things that you're doing the right way, God's way. And when you start to go God's way, as your mind begins to heal, as your soul begins to heal, you're going to start to experience something you never did before. And there's peace with God, peace with yourself because of Christ. And all of a sudden, you're going to start to say, oh, freedom. Freedom. True freedom. Because when you're freed internally, then you're truly free. So during the next, you know, whatever minutes or, you know, little time we have together, I want to just go over this freedom. And again, to remind us, it's not the freedom to do what we want, but the ability or the freedom to do what we ought to do. And that without Christ, we are slaves to sin. And we are in bondage no matter what. We cannot do what is right. We cannot. And then again, to remember that Christ, Him alone, Jesus alone, is the one that can set us free because of His death upon the cross and His resurrection. And only He has the power to save us from our sin. So, again, you cannot save yourself from, or cannot free yourself. So let's get to our main text today. That was just the beginning, all right? Galatians chapter 1. Now, in the translation we have here in Galatians chapter 1, it says this: stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom, right, by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Paul wrote this epistle to the church in Galatia because he was writing to them because there were people that had come into the church after he had taught the freedom in Christ and began to say, well, that's cool that you have freedom in Christ, but you have to now go back under the law again, and then by going under the law, you'll be really more free. And Paul says, no, that's backwards thinking, because the law can never make you free. It just shows you how in bondage you were. And he says, so you don't go back under the law when you're free. He said, don't do that. He said, because if you go back to that way, you're forgetting Christ. You're forgetting that He has made you free. You're forgetting that there's nothing you were able to do to be free yourself. So He says to you, if you have recognized that in the past, and maybe somebody here today or somebody who will listen in later will recognize the fact that they are a slave to sin, and they've been trying many methods, including religion, including other stuff, to be free from that sin. And it finally is getting to the point, and the Holy Spirit, I pray, is going to speak to their heart today and say, hey, you're never going to get it right, dummy. Because you're speaking to yourself, so you can call yourself dummy. I'm not saying dummy to you. Right? But yourself's going to say that. You're never going to get it right, dummy. Never, never. I'm a slave to sin. I'm in bondage. I'll never be free. But I heard again today something that I heard before, that Jesus can make me free. So we were talking, I think, Tuesday night or Thursday, I forget what it is. Sometimes the midweek stuff gets confused in my brain which one it was. But actually, it may have been in our prayer meeting. I don't remember where. But anyhow, it was in one of these times. We can never, ever, ever save anybody ourselves. We can't bring them to heaven. But what we can do is bring Jesus to them. And see, when we do what we do, why we do what we do, is that we're here proclaiming a message of freedom in Christ that is only available in Christ for anybody, man or woman, boy or girl, any nationality, anything, any socioeconomic position you might be in. The freedom alone is in Christ. And that message is, again, if you receive Him and you're born again, you're free indeed. And now you are taking that first and most important step to be free from this bondage of sin. We can proclaim that message. But Paul is saying to the church, and I want to remind you, that once you have taken that step, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but you yourself would know here today, If you are born again today, you have taken the step and you are free indeed in Christ. But you and I have to hold on to that liberty, that freedom. We have to stand fast in that freedom. Even though we'll never lose the liberty of the salvation we have in Christ, we can lose the liberty of the freedoms that we have in Christ in this world because we find ourselves getting bound up again in things that we've been made free from. Do you understand that? You're free in Christ and you're born again. He holds you in the palm of his hands. He's never going to let you go. You're sure in him, but you can then become a person who now begins to still walk in a ways of bondage. Just remember, like Israel, I always point back to them. When they were in bondage and in slavery into Egypt, when Moses came, God sent him to deliver them. When they crossed the Red Sea, they were truly, when Pharaoh died, they were free indeed. But you know what happened? They put themselves back under bondage and they wandered around for 40 years because they didn't hold on to their freedom. They were still God's people, but they walked as slaves for 40 years in the desert. Sometimes as Christians, we come to Christ and we're born again and we truly are free indeed, but we walk in bondage again. Paul's saying, stand fast. I like what another translation says. He says this way. It's for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Our sins are forgiven. We are born into his family. We can live in the power of that freedom by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we're free from even the consequences of the power of sin, ultimate consequences. We always have things that will happen to us in life, but we're free from even those consequences when it comes to eternity. But yet we find ourselves many times walking back under bondage, all different types of bondage. So I didn't ask you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you are born again today. If you're not, I pray the Holy Spirit touches your mind and speaks to your heart that you need a Savior. And we'll give ample opportunity at the end of service to come and to pray together to receive Christ and be born again. But if you are, I want you to ask yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to search you. Say, am I walking in this liberty? Am I walking in this freedom? Can I actually proclaim today, May the 4th, right? I want you to say, May the 4th. Yeah. 20 what year? Come on, 25. Can you actually say, I am walking in the freedom. I'm standing fast in that freedom. I am walking in the freedom that Jesus has provided for me. Because if you cannot say that, then there's something very, 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 very much missing in your walk with Christ. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, and I read the epistle this morning again, not just the chapter. I read the epistle this morning. He wrote to them because of these false teachers that came in, and they were promoting legalism to try to make them observe Old Testament rules and ceremonies and even circumcision again and all this stuff to make them more free, but they were actually trying to put them back under bondage again. And Paul, in no uncertain terms, says in that epistle, for freedom Christ has set you free. He set you free for freedom, and that you should not go under the law again. You should not go under any other bondage again. And many of us say, well, I was not raised Jewish. I wouldn't go back under the law. But yeah, but you put yourselves under other things. We put ourselves under other things after we come to Christ that are all forms of bondage that we're free from. They might be just habits, destructive ways of thinking, things that you just do all the time that you go, why do I still do this? You don't need to do it anymore. You know, it could be outbursts of anger. It could be like all this negative thinking and there's all these different things and cynicisms and all that stuff. You're like, no, we don't have to walk that way anymore. We're free. We're free. So he told the church then, no, don't go back under that. You're going to bind yourself up again. See, before Jesus came into your life, you were under bondage to that those things. But after you accepted him, you were broke free from that bondage. And you're free not only technically free, but you're free in the way that we actually can conduct our lives. We're free from the penalty and the power of sin. Paul goes into some amazing things in the book of Romans, in the middle chapters, in 6, 7, and 8 and all. He goes into all these different things about how we can find ourselves in bondage as Christians, but we do not have to be there. There is no reason for you and I, as Christians, to ever sin once we're saved. Now, I know that's what we should shoot for, and I know that none of us will ever walk it perfectly, but the truth is, he gave us everything we need so that we can live a life that is free from sin and the effects of sin. And that's what you and I have to strive for. Oh, but it's impossible, Pastor Joe. For you it is, but not for God. We set the bar way too low. We do. And God is not a man that he would lie. If the Son sets you free indeed. Somebody keep a count how many times I want to say it in this message. That's the four, I think. Five. Mark, keep a count. Keep a count for me. You're free indeed. It's another one. Cha-ching. So you have the ability to be free from the penalty and the power of sin. That means that you do not have to gratify the desires of your flesh. You don't have to. The lust of your flesh. You don't have to. When you were dead in sins, you had to. But now that you're alive to Christ, you don't have to any longer. When you trusted him for your salvation, the course of your life completely changed, not only with the destination, but even the road you were on, that we're on. We were on the wrong road. Going to the wrong destination. So, okay, well, wait, I'm going to go back on this bad road again and go to the new destination. No, he's going to put you on a bright road. And you need to stay on the right road until we get to that destination, until we see Jesus in the land of glory like we sang that song earlier. The Bible is very clear that he has given us a new way to live, and the freedom that we have in him is absolute. Listen to me. This is where it gets a little tricky. It's an absolute freedom in Christ, but it's not a license to sin, because that goes back under to a law again. That goes back under bondage again. It's a license to be free. So we'll skip down to Galatians for a few chapters. I would love for you to go back. I say these things, and I think maybe like two people go back and actually read them later, but I want to throw it out there again. Go back and read the whole epistle. But definitely read this chapter. But we're going to skip down to verse 13. How to live a little bit in this liberty that we have in Christ, or this freedom we have in Christ. Verse 13 of Galatians 5. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. And anytime you see liberty, just say freedom, okay? If it says freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But listen to this. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, Paul has given some shade to the Judaizers who wanted to put them back under the law again. He said, oh, you want to do the law? Okay, love one another. You want a law? Love one another. I love my family. I love my buddies. Love your enemies. Ooh. Treat them like you want to be treated. Wow, I don't want to do that one. Okay, go back under bondage. No, you're free to love. You are. You're free to love. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. And we think, yeah, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. Okay, good. Love. Love. And before you start worrying about loving the people outside, learn to love one another here in this church. Because I always maintained for a long time that if we can't love each other here, we're never going to do it right outside these doors. And if we never get it right in here, man. Yeah. Listen, he says, serve one another. Don't just say, love you, man. Don't just give you a smile and say, serve one another. Can you look around and think and say, I esteem the other person in this room better than myself? I exist today for them. That's why I'm here today. No, I came to church for me. I want to be fed, and I want that. Yeah, you want to be fed to be a fat sheep. Just drink it all in. Just drink it all in. And you go out, and you start being a goat as soon as you walk out the door. And you butt, before you get out the door, you're butting people. You know? No, serve somebody. Look at the other person and say, I'm here for them. It's easy to say, well, what's in it for me? But when you say, what's in it for the other one? Pastor Joe, those other guys on TV, they don't say this stuff. They talk about coming to church and be free to get all the stuff you want and do what you want to do while they're reading a different Bible. They are. Be free to serve one another. Because it's hard. Because we don't want to do that. We want to be served. We want to be served. The law is fulfilled in one word, even this: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. That's bondage. We're just going to fight to see who's the better, the first, and who can get on top, and who can do it. Then we just kill each other. It's all bondage. Church should be a place of freedom, not bondage. I hate coming to church and think about all the nonsense that goes on. I really do. It's just not just this church. I mean, all church. Church is, unfortunately, sometimes church is a tough place to be. You got to have a lot of thick skin to be in church sometimes. And it should not be that way. It shouldn't be that way. But unfortunately, we find ourselves going back into that law of biting and devouring one another. The law of the survival of the fittest. I'll come out on top. Let everybody else, you know. That's not the way it is, church. You say, wait a minute, what about this freedom thing? Yeah, that's the freedom part. That's the freedom part, to love people, to serve people, not to devour one another. That's what he gave us the power to do. To love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He gave us that power. Not for the flesh. See, the children of God have been called into freedom. We have to stand fast in that freedom. We have to learn to walk in that freedom. We have to learn to use that freedom to serve one another. We have to learn that freedom to set aside our own wants and needs and our own stuff. Guess what? You say, well, who's going to take care of me? The other person that's going to look after you. Because that's how God arranged it. We look for one another. And guess what? He's on the throne looking out. Because if everybody else, if every other man fails you, every other woman fails you, Jesus will never fail you. Ever. Do you know there was a person on this earth who had more freedom than any other human being ever? You know who that was? Yeah, it's not your question. It's Jesus. Because you could say that he became flesh. I'm not being blasphemous here. He's God, always God, not taking away his deity. But he became flesh. He walked this earth with more freedom than any other person ever walked this earth, and he never used it once to sin. And he never used it once for himself. I have decided to follow Jesus, but I don't like you, and I will curse you. Come on, guys. It's radical. If we're going to follow Jesus, man, it's radical. He came to serve us. And you say, well, it's because I'm so lovable. No, you're not. You put him on the cross. You put him on the cross. You denied him. You cursed him. Come on. Wow. So don't use this opportunity for the flesh. Follow Jesus. He was free, and he used that freedom for us to serve us, to love us, and he fulfilled it by giving his life completely for us. Don't devour one another like a pack of wild animals. That's actually the imagery in the original language. Those words are like animals devouring one another. Verse 16. See, the selfish people will eventually consume one another. Paul continues on to say, he says, I say then, because at that point, if it would have stopped right there, we'd all be saying to ourselves, yeah, Paul, nice, but you're nuts. We can't do it. So he says, oh, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I would venture to say, and if I can be proven wrong, I will gladly receive the correction, and I'll be happy to be proven wrong. But I will venture to say that as we live here in the year 2025, a good portion of the Church of Jesus Christ, in other words, those that are born again in his family, have forgotten what it means to walk in the Spirit, to truly walk in the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, the law is sin and death, right? The law is destruction. I'm not talking about God's perfect law. I'm talking about the law that we find ourselves, the law of this world. It's death. But we have to walk in the Spirit. So again, the first thing is the Spirit has to then live within you. So you have to be born again. This doesn't apply. If you're not, listen, everything I'm saying from here on out doesn't apply to you if you're not born again. But what I said earlier does apply to you if you will turn from your sin and receive his forgiveness. You can be part of this family of God, of the Church of Jesus Christ, being born into his family. But if you are his, the Spirit lives within you. And what that word means to walk in it is to be open to his leading. It means to be open to his leading, that you have a better way than I do. You know better than me, Holy Spirit. It's not me that lives anymore. It's you that live in me. I got to just get that right every time. You know the way. I want to be open and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then, as I'm doing that, then I can't just say, oh, that's good. That's great. That's a wonderful thing. Let me write it in my journal. Let me tell somebody, you know, sits next to me. Oh, I did. God just gave me this great revelation. That's cool to do all that. But then what you got to do when you have that revelation is you got to walk in that revelation. You got to make it your pattern of your life. It's great to have revelation, but if you don't enact it, actually it might help the person next to you tell them. They'll be like, oh, that's really cool. And they start walking that way and you're still floundering around. Right? You got to walk. It has to become a pattern of your life. See, that's how you begin to see if you yourself or others are walking in the Spirit, because all of a sudden they're going to start looking a little bit like Jesus. And I don't mean a 30-some-year-old Middle Eastern man. I mean the way they conduct themselves. There's a scent about them. There's an air about them. There's something of that doesn't reek of the flesh. It's something netherworldly. It's out of this world. It's from another kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. It's a difference. See, Jesus told us that the same Holy Spirit that lives within us, if we would follow that Holy Spirit, you know what he's going to do? He's going to point us to look like him. He's going to speak like him. We're going to act like him. We're going to hear like him. We're going to walk like him. And you will not then find yourself fulfilling the lust of your flesh. And don't think only physical sexual lust. That's not what this means. It's all the lustly things of this. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh. It's all of that. Everything that's not of God, not of his Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, those things are going to start to fall away from you. You're not even going to want to care about them anymore. The way you think will be different. The way you act will be different. The way you talk will be different. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't move us in us to gratify our fallen desires, but to teach us about Jesus' way, to go his way. But it's a choice. Will we follow the Holy Spirit? Will we pattern our life after the Holy Spirit? Will we recognize the battle within us from the old man, the old way of thinking, and know that we're supposed to crucify that flesh, but at the same time, we keep letting it come back alive? Are we going to keep it dead so that we're going to continue to pattern our life after the power of the Holy Spirit? The more you do that, the more you and I do that, you're going to walk in this freedom that he promised you. So it's not the fact that we have flesh and blood bodies. It's the inner man, if you will, the way that we've always patterned our life before. We all live in a pattern of life. We got to stop that pattern of life. We have to say the Holy Spirit's going to illuminate us to a new way of living, and then we have to set ourselves on that road and pattern our life in the new way of living. And when you do that, you're going to see the difference. I think it was, I'm not going to give the whole quote because I didn't write it down and didn't commit it to memory, but I think it was something to the effect of, I think Martin Luther, who has a lot of bad lusts and passions, if you read anything about Martin Luther's life, and you know, he God mightily used him to bring, you know, the Reformation and so forth, but he said something to the effect, I think is Martin Luther, if I'm wrong, again, send me an email, correct me, that's cool, but if he didn't say, somebody else did. He said, like, when the flesh, like, acts up, he says, the only remedy I know is the sword of the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit and use the sword of the Spirit, like when Jesus said when he was tempted. That's why the psalmist says, your word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I sin not and I may not sin against you. But if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law, we will not begin to fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, an inner influence is always greater than an outer influence. Always. We could put all the constraints around ourselves, either self-imposed or other people impose them on us, and all that will do nothing to really keep us on the path. Only what happens inside here, only what happens within our heart, only what happens with the Holy Spirit working from the inside out truly sets us free. So again, just to recap it all, and we're going to close this up. Freedom in Christ is freedom from sin and the law. Jesus took it upon himself to set us free. When we come to faith in Christ, we are free indeed. That frees us up to live in a relationship with God that we could never otherwise live in. We can do it. But when we come to Christ, we have a freedom to live in a right relationship with God. Patterning our lives after him, fulfilling the law, which is love God with all your heart, might, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a freedom to serve others. It's a freedom to come in last place. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's a freedom to come in last place. Lord, just help everybody else cross the finish line. Guess why? Because there'll be somebody behind you helping you get across too, if we're all doing it. But you don't care. You're not worried about that. Did I hear right today? Paul Buca made it in 46 minutes. He was the first one down Broad Street. Did I hear that right? No, it wasn't Paul. I said, Paul, somebody ran it in 46 minutes today. I said, it's like 4-something minute mile for 10 miles. Or what? 10, 12 miles? 10-mile race, right? Something like that. Yeah. That's a 4-minute mile. Dude, that's great. But I don't care if you're the last one coming in, if you're helping everybody else get across the finish line. That's our goal in Christ. That is. It's a freedom to come in last. And you know what Jesus said about those who come in last? It's a freedom for us to live in unity. It's a freedom for us to be able to stand firm in the liberty that he provided for us. It's actually even a freedom to go through hard times. It's a freedom to lose your job, to lose your home, to lose a loved one. It's a freedom to break your leg and lose your ability to walk for a while. It's a freedom to go through all these things that we all will go through in life, because we're not here about the external freedom. It's the internal freedom to be able to say, thus saith the Lord, and Lord, it is well with my soul. If you had allowed this in my life, there is a purpose in it. And maybe some of it is corrective by nature. Maybe it is some of reaping what we sow that's self-imposed. But when you can say to Jesus, Father, I will trust you even in this, that's a freedom to know that he's got you. He's never going to let you go. And he'll take you all the way through. So Galatians 22 and 23, chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I didn't even touch the works of the flesh, because I don't want to focus on that. When you read it later, he said the works of the flesh are these. We know all too well the works of the flesh. Because that's what, unfortunately, most of us are exhibiting. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. When you're under the law, you can't exhibit these things in the way we should. When we're walking in Christ, which is freeing us from the law, then we can exhibit the wonderful fruits of the Spirit. And those, verse 24, who are Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So when you finally begin to pattern your life into this and you're this way of living and you're walking in the Spirit, then all of a sudden when you see that freedom that you have in Christ, don't become conceited like you've done anything special. And don't look down at everybody else who's still struggling. Because then you're really not where you think you are. Because when you are walking that way, you're not going to become conceited because you're going to say, there's no way I could be doing this. It's Christ and Jesus doing it through me. And Lord, anything that comes from this of benefit, let it glorify you and let it bring others to you. And help me to bring my brothers and sisters to the same walk in you that I'm finding myself walking in now. So stay in line with the Spirit. Be in line with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Provoke one another in a good way to love and to good works. Provoke one another to stay on the course, to stay in the step with the Holy Spirit. I pray today as we close this message that as you're hearing this, you're not thinking to yourself, this full disclosure here. Full disclosure. I kind of knew 2 or 3 days ago that this was going to be the message unless the Holy Spirit changed it, you know, which he didn't. Full disclosure. As I'm preparing this and as I'm reading and I'm meditating on, as I'm thinking about, as I'm checking my life out, do you know what thoughts came across my mind many times? I hope that one's going to listen to this one. I hope that one's going to listen to this one. And you know what I finally said? Hey, Jill, I hope you're all listening to this one. Right? Right? Don't be thinking about, oh, such and such should be here today. I hope Jason hit record button this week so I could point them to this message so they can listen in. No, make sure you're listening in. Share it with them, praise God. But look in your own heart. Are you bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Are you keeping step with the Holy Spirit? Is your life being patterned after the Holy Spirit? It's not for me to judge you. I can see fruit here and there, but guess what? Nah, that's not that. I'm going to provoke you to love Jesus more. And then I hope you provoke me to love Jesus more. I'm going to provoke you to serve one another more. And I hope you provoke me to serve one another more. I'm going to provoke you to do the things that Jesus left us here to do, to be the church, and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to provoke you as you provoke me to do those same things. But let's do it in such a way that we're going to make each other, in a good way, jealous of one another, jealous for one another, and jealous for the things of God. So pray to yourself. Lord Jesus, save me from that evil person that sits in front of me. No. Pray as I believe again Augustine prayed. I should have wrote some of these down to make sure I'm quoting the right people. I believe he prayed. Lord, save me from that evil man, myself. Lord, help me to receive this message today with gladness of heart, with a desire to learn how to be free in Christ. And to walk by the power of his Holy Spirit, to see a new way of living that others in the world will see that and follow me as I'm following Jesus. The key in all of this is ask the Holy Spirit to search your hearts and mind, to see where you are in all of this. A real, thoughtful self-accounting as the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. And then when he does, the things that shouldn't be there, repent. And the powerlessness that you find in those other areas, yield it, surrender it to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will give you victory over those areas. And you will begin to see the freedom that comes from living in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word to our hearts today. And Father, I do pray for myself first, and yes, for everybody else, that we would truly hear this message today. That, Lord, if we halfway through started thinking about who else should hear this, then I pray that we go back and listen to it again and listen to it with our ears open to say, Father, show me myself in this message. If we think we've already achieved it, then we're becoming conceited. If we're tired of failure and we've gotten to that place of surrendering to the sin, then we're going to start to envy the ones that are not. Lord, keep us from envying. Let us, Lord God, provoke one another and ourselves to live in the freedom that you have provided by the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us keep in line and step with the Spirit. Let us pattern our life after the Spirit. Let us today know the power of living by the Holy Spirit that would help us, enable us to be free indeed. So, Father, we give it to you. Have your way with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't run right out. Encourage one another.